Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
I tell you, Stan, you got that torpedo button just hitting that bow of that boat every time.
And blub, down blub. It goes, huh? Well, I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted when we look at ourselves sometimes, and serious when we look at the issues.
The lighthearted part is a no-brainer. No other way can we talk. And incidentally, John, again, this is early on in our relationship with Life Talk Radio, and for those that are tuning in from that network, once again, this is John Kurlinski sitting across the table from me. Dr. John brings a history and philosophy emphasis in his background. And
Dr. Stan with the world's greatest radio face, man, yeah, he brings back a doctorate, and he's into science and stuff, you know. It's really fun.
We both pastor churches, and we are in the Pacific Northwest. We love this area because it's a great place to go outside and see the hand of God in creation.
And to look and find fun fossils not too far away.
Give me the hammer, and let's go digging. But anyway, we are here today talking about another issue involving creationism evolution. We think it's critical what people know and believe and think on this subject. And today, John, we talk about this subject partly, maybe almost entirely, because the book of Genesis, the book of origins in the Bible, is under attack.
And because especially, Stan, when we think of Genesis under attack, we're not saying the whole book, primarily chapters 1 to 11.
Mm-hmm, 1 through 11.
Even a lot of Christians struggle with those chapters and have different views about what they are and what's going on.
Well, you know, we go through our public schools and we hear an awful lot of talk about what science supposedly is saying on these things. We read National Geographic. We watch public radio, public TV, and probably watch public radio, but it's real boring as you look at the knobs.
Yeah, I know the knobs just kind of...
Yeah. But anyway, all of that comes as one voice saying, you, listener, are actually from...
Pond scum.
Pond scum. You've come from pond scum.
And pond scum you shall return.
Yes,
if
indeed.
If you're lucky.
And the value you have in life is simply as you try to cope with that thought that you are here by accident. So they get that all the time. And even those who have a tendency to believe the Bible, John, love the Gospels, love the stories of Jesus. Yes, and the miracles. They love all of that. They believe all that. But many of them have been led to think that maybe the first 11 chapters of the Bible are a little iffy at best.
Little mythy.
Yeah.
Little mythy, little iffy. We just kind of put them off into fairy tale land or nice story.
They're nice stories.
To teach us a wonderful lesson about something.
Something moral like be good to your wife because you're...
She'll give you bad food if you don't.
That's right. That's right. Or something like that. And, you know, I think it's very important, of course, we joke about it, but we're very deadly serious when it comes to staunchly defending the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11.
Matter of fact, our greatest defender isn't even our words. The very words of Christ. Mm-hmm. He refers to Noah as a person who existed and lived, as in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. Either those were real days or Jesus is just saying, that's a myth story and I'm just telling you about a myth story. He seemed to talk about it as if it was a very real event and a very real person.
When he refers to marriage, he says that it wasn't that way in the beginning because God created them male and female. He quotes Genesis as though it were reliable.
We're reliable, trustworthy. So for those who want to only believe, and we'll get into this a little more actually next week, Stan, we're going to talk about various theories. We're going to share some of the theories that Christians and non-Christians have regarding origin.
And there's more than one.
There's like seven of them or eight of them that we'll cover.
Seven basic, yeah.
And when we cover those, we'll get into some of the implications on them too. But a lot of people struggle with those first 11 verses. And really, I look at Revelation.
Chapters,
we talked last week about assumptions. And one of my biases is that God speaks. We ended our show with God speaking. And some people only hear thunder, but some believe that God actually can speak to us. He spoke worlds into existence.
My goodness, yes.
And it's interesting that whenever God is going to do something, he always used to tell his people in advance. Mm-hmm. So when it came to pass, they'd catch it. or if there was an event that they were not there for, mm-hmm. he would let them have some inside information. So somewhere along the line, either through oral transmission via a chain of people mm-hmm. or through revelation via a vision, mm-hmm. God had Moses write down the story, the origin story of yes. where they came from and why they exist. And we and call you, those, you can hear those pages.
Yeah, there are the pages of that record, the Bible, of course. And
especially Genesis.
And especially Genesis. And we believe, like Jesus, apparently. In fact, John wrote about Jesus in the first chapter of John when he said Jesus was in the beginning with God. He was God.
He was the Word that spoke.
He was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
So the speaker of the creator became mm-hmm. human. That's a pretty awesome text just in itself, Stan.
God speaks. And in fact, God not only reveals to us how things happen, God actually makes the great things happen in our history by speaking, including and especially Genesis chapter 1, where he speaks things into existence.
And really, when we look today, we want to look at those first 11 chapters because mm-hmm. really God is giving us information about the origin of many things that people don't understand or struggle with today.
Mm-hmm.
We find out many things that will help us get a handle on our world today and explain why things are this way and not that. You can find mm-hmm. answers even to our environmental landscape or our, yeah. just the geography of our world from these 11 chapters. They hint at what happened and what's going on.
It would be healthy for everyone to always think of the book of Genesis as simply the book of beginnings.
That's
it's the
word
beginning.
Means.
Yeah, and that's what the word Genesis means in Greek.
Yes. It is
a reference to where things started. Now, think about the book of Genesis, John. Let's start rattling off a few things that are recorded in the book as having its beginning there.
Well, life itself.
Life itself, therefore you and me.
Are alive.
Yeah.
And it begins the beginning of marriage. You have a man and a woman married mm-hmm. together. The two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You have the origin of sex.
Sex, oops, indeed.
Plug your children's ears.
No. Yes, and you know, and we know we have your attention right now, but the Bible indicates that the origin of sex is in Genesis, if you'd like to know where it started. There it is.
It started very good, too, last I checked. It's part of the very good. No.
But you know, things are very bad in the world today, including sex and marriage and relationships. And where do we find information as to what happened to mess up things?
Sounds like Genesis 3.
Yeah, Genesis also shows us the origin of sin, and along with sin, the effects of sin, like suffering and death,
pain
and separation.
Of childbirth, and, mm-hmm. and like you say, where does death come from?
And death, of course, you know, again, John, if you don't believe like we, with our biases about there being a God and we having a divine origin and a God who speaks, you're going to have to come up with, if you do believe in God, and this we'll talk about these views of creation, these options of, you know, where we came from. If you do believe in God, then you have to believe, well, did God create death, or did death come in through some other means? And again, you have that answered in the book of Genesis,
where the start was. You also have answers that, well, how come if God placed Adam and Eve in this new couple and mm-hmm. their life in a garden called Eden, everything's
hunky-dory,
yep. how come we don't know where that garden is or where was that garden? How come mm-hmm. this world doesn't seem to reveal or
yeah,
look like
National
anything
Park,
like it?
Eden National Park or something, so we go see where that was.
Not quite.
Well, there was this flood thing that came.
We call it the flood.
Yes, scientists have a hard time saying that word. But anyway,
they're getting better at it.
They're getting better.
But they still struggle.
But they still
with
think
the,
like Missoula flood or the Black Sea flood.
Flood, but not
Noah's.
The big
yeah, not the big one.
Not the big one. Anything but the big one, folks. Because there's a reason behind that, Stan.
There is.
Because if you embrace the idea of the big one,
yes,
you might lend credence to some person that maybe that book, those first 11 chapters, might be historically accurate.
Well, that's kind of a scary thought. You mean God actually took out a sinful world once?
Yeah, there are people that don't like that thought, and so they don't want to believe it. And so they try to downplay or erase the memory of that story specifically.
Well, it was a myth, and it was a local flood, and this guy had a farm by the river one time, and the flood overflowed the banks, and he had to get all his
cows.
He had to get his cows and horses and everything into a boat and honey, and the kids hopped in, and they floated away, and whoo! And boy, as he talked to his great-grandson on that fateful day that he was saved, it kind of grew into Noah and the Ark and, you know, eight people and the world destroyed. And it was just a local myth.
Stan, we have, actually, there's a lot of people today that believe that. Matter of fact, the Bible predicts that people are like that. We have a torpedo text that points to various people who do not like this story in particular, found in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It found that torpedo text is found in 2 Peter.
You don't suppose God saw this coming?
Yeah, read about it. Yeah.
Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come.
Mockers?
Mockers will come with their mocking.
Otherwise known as scoffers, with their scoffing.
Following, it sounds kind of Christmassy.
Yeah.
Following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. In other words, there's no change, no difference. God doesn't step into human history. Let me keep reading. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the water was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire.
What this story in this text is referring to is that there are people who scoff at the idea of the actual flood, mm-hmm. and because if it is so, then there points to a potential for a future judgment,
yes.
which means
yes.
that we are agents which are accountable.
Oops.
We are free moral agents, but there will be a day of reckoning or accountability.
Oh. Hello, am I ready for that?
And so how can I deal mm-hmm. with accountability if I don't believe in God? Oh, well, it's better just not to pretend he doesn't exist at all. Maybe if I pretend hard enough, I'll
yes,
never have to face
we're talking
him.
About another body of water called denial.
Denial. Yep, that big river.
Now, it's interesting, John, that here Scripture predicts that this would be an issue in our day, that the book of Genesis would be called into question, that mockers will scoff at the idea that God gets into human history.
And they almost use a very the beginning of evolution began with the same kind mm-hmm. of line of reasoning.
Yes.
All things just are going on.
Just uniformly, just going on and on without any kind of catastrophe coming in.
Because evolution began in the theories of uniformitarianism.
Yes,
they're
that's
not
right.
held completely today, but that was the foundation. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you'd think that if it was founded on something that was faulty, you'd realize that the whole thing is faulty.
You would think so. But Hutton and Lyell, who
influenced
Darwin, that's right, said that everything you see is what has always been.
And it's
kind
just
of materialism
a long,
in the geologic
process. There's
mm-hmm.
no big surprises.
No big surprises.
Like the flood
or
the end time fire.
And you see a great big canyon and you see a little river flowing at the bottom. We can explain how that canyon got there. Just roll the tape backwards far enough and it just eroded over millions of years.
Billions and bazillions of years.
Mm-hmm,
and actually there's not enough bazillions of years for some of this stuff to take place.
That's correct.
And some of it would happen over and over. We'll talk about that another day.
Well, see, the book of Genesis is talking about beginnings, just like the book of Revelation talks about endings. And yet it's interesting, if you believe that the book of Revelation is going to, in fact, give you information on what's going to take place at the end, then why would you believe that the book of Revelation would be more reliable than the book that told you how things started? Why would you believe Revelation and not Genesis?
It's amazing that some people, you can't be that way, and we'll talk about that next time on Sink the Beagle,
mm-hmm.
is some people want to pick and choose their miraculous events, whether they be scientific
Let
miracles.
Let me see. I think I'll take column A, miracles, thank you.
Versus column B, and I'll reject these. Really, mm-hmm. we come from a perspective that, like Jesus, he saw Genesis 1 through 11
mm-hmm.
as a valid description of our origins.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take his word.
Well,
over,
I hope so, yes.
As I follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also trust him as a description of how things are going to end.
Again, how can you believe in a God that will tell you what things will take place in the future, but mistrust him when he gives you information on how things started?
He is what the Bible says, the author and the finisher of what we all need, faith.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudahoe@mindspring.com. That's hudahoe, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
Join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.